Track 6. This is Brian back at the sports desk and back literally after a weekend chasing the Starbridge rugby team on their visit to the Wharfdale Club in the village of Grassington, North Yorkshire. I mentioned this at the end of last week's report. There's been an affinity between Starbridge and Wharfdale for a long time, but interrupted when Starbridge were relegated to League 2 North about 5 seasons ago, when Wharfdale remained in League 1. We still play them in August every year, a pre-season friendly, but league hostilities were only renewed this year when Wharfdale ultimately joined us in League 2 North, having been relegated themselves. So last weekend's visit to the Dales was a resumption of an old love affair between the two, and I'm pleased to say both parties were happily reconciled. I'll give you a flavour of how it went. My wife and I were picked up by another pair of intrepid supporters quite early on Friday morning. We motored north and met up with some others in a very welcoming pub not far from Grassington for an extended lunch. We motored on to our hotel in the village and, on the excuse of a wet and miserable afternoon, took up station in the lounge where a few more drinks were exchanged in a toast to the forthcoming weekend. Other members of our extended party dribbled in as the daylight faded, and we all assembled once more for pre-dinner drinks, then a table of some 20 people for dinner, accompanied by numerous bottles of wine. The same 20-odd assembled at the same long table for breakfast on Saturday morning. A few braver souls mooched out into the village, but it was still wet and miserable and much better in the hotel lounge for a refreshing glass or two. Then a short walk to the rugby ground in time for a couple of beers before the match. Then a quick scurry back to the hotel to watch the Wales-England international on their big screen. Always looks better with a glass in your hand. Celebration drinks at the final whistle, then into the dining room where the same crowd of 20 were still more or less on their feet for a cheery dinner, well lubricated of course. Things were more muted on the Sunday morning when we assembled for breakfast, goodbyes and see you next year. A memorable weekend. Oh, I almost forgot, the purpose was to go and watch Wharfdale play Starbridge. That was eminently forgettable. Wharfdale won the match 37-0. Enough said. Things went much better at the weekend for Starbridge Lions, the amateur side who share the facilities at Stourton Park. They enjoyed a 26-0 win on a visit to Stafford Rugby Club and remained top of the league, with the Leek Club and Camp Hill in close pursuit, while the Lions face a potential banana skin this coming Saturday when they'll be on their travels again, this time to meet Walsall, who are fourth in the league table. Dudley Kings Winford also won comfortably on Saturday by 22-7 against the Worcester Wanderers. Turning to the local soccer scene, there was a blow for the Glass Boys' promotion hopes on Saturday when they were beaten at Grantham. The scoreline reads Grantham 2, Starbridge 1, but according to reports, I've seen that close result marks a pretty poor performance by Glass Boys, whose only goal came as a late consolation. The match appears not to have been much of a spectacle. A goalless first half, followed by Grantham opening their account immediately after the restart. Starbridge created few chances, and when they did threaten the home goal, their shots were mostly miscued. After the home side had added a second goal to their tally, Starbridge's only counter, scored by Jack Heath, his first for the club, came in injury time. Hopefully, Glass Boys will be fully back on their mettle this Saturday, when a big crowd is expected at the Memorial Ground for the visit of league leaders Blyth Spartans. Starbridge, now third in the league after last Saturday's defeat, are 13 points behind Blyth and not likely to bridge that gap before the end of the season. But they can't afford to lose either if their ambition to be involved in the promotion playoffs is to be fulfilled. Hales Owen Town had a better day at the weekend thanks to a 2-1 away win at the bottom club, Skelmersdale United. A few nervous moments at the end here. As with Starbridge match against Grantham, all the goals came in the second half. Hills Owen had built a 2-0 lead, but Skelmersdale got one back 2 minutes from the end and launched an all-out blitz to try to secure a draw, but the Hills Owen defence managed to hold out. The win eases them a smidgen further away from the relegation trouble. They are now 18th in the league table. I have had one or two requests to mention our local professional teams a little more often. OK. Villa 0, Ipswich 1. Sheffield Wednesday 3, Birmingham City 0. Wolves 0, Newcastle United 1. Do you want me to go on? Last weekend was a particularly poor one for these three, all in the Championship and sinking down the table. Not a single goal scored between them. I expect by this stage any Albion fans listening are enjoying a quiet chuckle. They are more than holding their own against the multi-millionaire sides in the Premier League and on Saturday achieved a 2-2 draw at West Ham. It was 4 minutes into injury time when McCauley scored to give them the equaliser, but they had led from the 6th minute thanks to a goal from Chadley, with West Ham scoring twice in the second half and looking as though they had secured all 3 points. Albion lie 8th in the Premier League table and are fairly isolated there, 4 points behind Everton, who are 7th, and 5 ahead of Stoke in 9th. Blues, Birmingham City, are our best-placed West Midlands side in the Championship, but they are only 12th, and unless they turn a radical corner, they are not going to make the promotion playoffs. Wolves, as I mentioned a week or two ago, are looking nervously over their shoulders, 18th in the league and 6 points ahead of the relegation places. Coming back to rugby for a minute, the weekend featured the second round of matches in this year's Six Nations competition. For the second successive week, England featured in a match that could have gone either way, but came back with a narrow victory over Wales in Cardiff, thanks to a last-minute try, largely gifted to them when a clearance kick was launched from the Welsh defence close to their own line. The ball was caught in midfield by England's George Ford and fed out to the left wing, where it was fielded by Elliot Daly. He sprinted for the line, just scraping past the last Welsh defender to touch down for a try in the corner. Up to that point, Wales had held a narrow 16-14 lead and it looked as though a victory for them had been secured. Ireland thrashed Italy almost as comprehensively as Wharfdale disposed of Starbridge, and Scotland lost a very physical battle against France in Paris. England, with 2 wins out of 2 so far, lead the Six Nations League table, with the rest, apart from the Italians, all closely grouped together with 1 win and 1 defeat each. Turning to cricket, the England authorities have confirmed that Yorkshire's Joe Root has been chosen to replace Alistair Cook as the England Test captain. Root has been the hot favourite for this post ever since Cook announced his retirement from the captaincy. His baptism of fire will be in a series against South Africa over here this summer, before an Ashes tour to Australia in the winter. Those are two battle-hardened foes to take on in your first year as a skipper. Ben Stokes will act as vice-captain, and it seems to me they could make an ideal pairing. On the face of it, they have different characters, and I've seen Stokes described as a Sergeant Major type, ready to ball out anyone who's not pulling his weight. Cook, of course, is not retiring from Test cricket, merely from the captaincy. He's likely to start the summer as one of England's opening batsmen, and relieved of the captain's duties, I hope we'll see him return to his best form with the bat. There's not been much about it in the mainstream sports news, but Great Britain's team of lady tennis players have enjoyed a successful campaign in the Federation Cup, which is roughly the female equivalent of the Davis Cup, which Andy Murray and Team GB won in 2015. Tallinn in Estonia was the scene last week for the team, captained from the sidelines by the now-retired Anne Kiothavong and featuring Joe Konta, Heather Watson and the doubles pairing of Laura Robson and Jocelyn Ray. Our team started last week in a group of 4 countries, Portugal, Latvia and Turkey alongside Great Britain, and with Konta and Watson winning the 2 singles matches and our doubles pair also victorious, the Portuguese were quickly seen off in a 3-0 success in the first group match. In order to progress in the competition, we needed to be top of the group after playing each of the other 3 countries, and although none of the other 3 are exactly among the more successful tennis nations, wins were still needed. The second day of competition saw Great Britain in action next against Latvia, and here again both Konta and Watson won their respective singles matches in straight sets, while Robson and Ray needed 3 sets to overcome their Latvian opponents. 2 down, 1 to go. On Friday, the 3rd day, we then faced the Turkish team, and once again the result was a 3-0 victory, as the same British foursome enjoyed victory, although Konta lost the opening set in her match before recovering for a comfortable win in the end. But on its own, winning the group didn't mean anything. That's because the Federation Cup is played to a complicated formula. Team GB have been stuck for years in the Europe/Africa Group 1, the only escape from which is first to win your group, then play off against one of the other group winners, and if you succeed in that, you become one of the 2 teams who play off later against 2 of the bottom teams in World Group 2, and try to gain promotion to that group by winning that playoff. Is that complex enough for you? Well then, by Friday evening we were 3-0 group winners and had to play off on Saturday against Croatia, who'd won their group. It's fair to say the Croats are not as formidable in women's tennis as are their men, but they still offer a stiff challenge. On Saturday, Heather Watson led the way by beating Donna Vekic in straight sets to give us a 1-0 lead, but Jo Konta was surprisingly beaten by Anna Konju in the second singles match, the first match Team GB had lost in the entire contest. But then she teamed up with Watson to form our doubles pair for the third and final playoff match against the Croats Konju and Durak. That was won in three sets, and so Team GB have qualified for a playoff to decide if they can gain admission to World Group 2, comprising the second highest-ranked nations in women's tennis. The draw for that was made this week, and our team will be on their travels once again when they meet Romania in April. Gosh, that was a long and detailed explanation of a complex setup, and it's taken all the time left for sport on this week's news. I hope you've enjoyed it, although I don't seem to have found space for many different sports this time. I shall be back next week. Until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.